Good morning. So what's new? God's mercy, new every morning. Hallelujah. Where would we be without God's mercy? Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us and the love that you show for us, Lord, and everything you do. Lord, just help us to be strong. Help us to remain, abide in your presence, to abide in you so that you can abide in us. Help us, Lord, to just keep our focus on you and on the things you want us to focus on. Lord, I pray that you'd open up heaven this morning. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would fill this place. And I pray, Lord, that your words would fill this place and fill our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, this morning I'm going to be talking about judgment and love. Actually, it's judgment and love, love, love. Our opening scripture was Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. I'm not going to start there. I'm actually going to start in Jeremiah 7. But I'm going to read it while you have a chance to turn some pages in your Bibles. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, you'll notice if you go back to Exodus chapter 20 that that isn't what it says in the Ten Commandments. And yet, it is the Ten Commandments. These two commandments totally cover everything in the Ten Commandments. So Jesus simplified it, didn't he? But yet he also took the limits off it, because before we could say, well, I don't see that in the Ten Commandments, so I can go ahead and do it. But when we read this, we can say, oh, okay, it's there. Love God and love everybody else. Jeremiah chapter 7 says the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Jeremiah was a prophet, of course, and he didn't always speak a very pleasant message, did he? I had someone tell me once when I had a word for somebody and I gave it to them and it wasn't pleasant. And she said, well, that can't be, because God wouldn't send a prophecy like that. Yet it says in the Bible to not despise prophecy. Prophecy is always sent out of love, because everything that God does is out of love. Everything. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Basically, he destroyed it. Verse 13, and now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I give to you, which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight as I cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. It says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? God sends judgment. Where does it begin? It begins in the house of God. We see this even in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 9:6, when God sent forth his angels. And he said, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Verse 3 said, amend your ways and your doings. Verse 5 says, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. He added something to it, didn't he? Amend your ways and your doings. That's your inclination and your actions. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. In other words, I go to church, so I'm fine. It's a lot more than that, isn't it? It's about a relationship. It's not about something you do religiously. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these great things for you? And Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because they never took the time to know him. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers. This reminded me of a passage in Micah, actually a verse in Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's exactly what it's saying in here, isn't it? Love mercy, to do good, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Why would God judge a church? Because more is expected of us, isn't it? To him that much is given, much is required. What is the one area that many churches fall short? What should be the mark or sign that identifies us as his church? See, the church is not just a building, and it's not just a group of people in the building. It's each one of us individually, isn't it? So it always starts with us. You want revival? It starts with you. The greatest commandment, love God, love your neighbor. The church in Jeremiah 7 broke both of the two commandments. I like gospel music. I listen to it on the radio. I have satellite radio. And there's a gospel station there that plays Southern Gospel. And there's one song they've been playing recently. I think it's Gordon Moat that sings it. But he tells a little story. I guess it's Easter Sunday, and the pastor is there, and people are there, and they're all waiting for the Easter sermon. And he goes up to the pulpit, and he says, "Love, love, love." And that's it. People were shocked. That's a sermon? Just three words? But that was all he gave. Love, love, love. How important is love? We're supposed to be like God, aren't we? First John 4:16 says that God is love. Everything, as I mentioned, everything that God does, he does out of love. Isn't it supposed to be the same with us? In everything we do, aren't we supposed to show the love of God? If we don't have love in our heart, what does that say about us? In Revelation 2, 4, and 5, the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, "You've left your first love. If you don't repent, I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick." Some commentators think that that means cause to close. I'll shut your doors. And that could be true. But it also means he's going to take the light out of there. He's going to take the anointing. He's going to take the Spirit. It's going to be a dead church. Whether the doors are open or closed. Without love. Without love for God and without love for our fellow man, our neighbors. We're going to look at love from three perspectives. God's love for us, our love for God, and our love for one another. God loves us with all his heart, mind, and strength. He loves us with everything that he is. He loves us enough to go to the cross and die the most torturous, painful death imaginable. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, Paul prayed that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. If you look closely at those words, maybe you can see the cross in there. Because the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Because there's four different directions, isn't there? The breadth, the width, how wide is God's love? It's wide enough to cover everybody in the world that would receive him, isn't it? How long is God's love? God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. It always is and always will be. How deep is God's love? It's deep enough to reach down into the deepest pit there is and pull us out of it. How high is God's love? All the way up to heaven, isn't it? And even there and beyond. First John 4:10 says, "We love him because he first loved us." When did he first love us? Jeremiah 31:3 tells us that he has loved us with an everlasting love. It has no beginning, it has no end. It always was and always will be. So we love him because he first loved us. And because we love him, we trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything you are. That also tells us that we need to get ourselves out of the way, doesn't it? out of his way. Get ourselves out of the way. Because we have a tendency to try to interfere with what God's doing. No, we need to trust him. We trust him because we love him. Because we love him, we honor him. I remember growing up in the 50s and the 60s, a common thing was when a kid got in trouble, the parents would think, well, what are the neighbors going to think? Because it's the family honor, the family name, isn't it? It's the same way with God. The family name. The third commandment says not to take the name of the Lord in vain. A lot of people, most people, see that and they think, well, I'm not supposed to misuse his name. And that's true. But there's also something else involved in that. When we become his, we take his name on us. So we have to bring honor to that name in everything we do. Take not his name in vain. That means it shouldn't be empty. It shouldn't be meaningless. It shouldn't be worthless. Everything we should do should be directed at honoring that name. Because we love him, we imitate him. A lot of times children will imitate their fathers, won't they? And we're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to take on his characteristics because as children of God, we're made in his image. Because we love him, we serve him. Jesus became a servant. John chapter 13, he talks about that while he was washing his disciples' feet. He took a lowly position and willingly served. What motivated him to become a servant? Love. Everything he did out of love. Because we love him, we are faithful to him. Ezekiel 6:9 is a verse that says, because of your idolatry, I was crushed. Do we ever really stop to think, oh, how much we break God's heart by the things we do? He said, I was crushed. I remember the first time I read that and really realized what it said. It had an incredible impact on me. You know, the fact that I could break God's heart with the things I do. So we are faithful to him because we love him. And because we love him, we worship him. In John chapter 4, 23 and 24, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And she had said that we worship God here on this mountain, but you Jews worship him in Jerusalem. And Jesus said the time has come and now is when you will no longer worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem. But you'll worship the Father in spirit and truth. We have to worship him in spirit and truth, he said. Very deep and very real. Worship involves an awful lot more than just praising him, too. Everything we should do should be with an attitude of worship. Because we love him, we obey him. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's true. If we love him, we show our love by keeping his commandments, don't we? Another translation says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Which I think opens up another meaning. Along with the one. The more we love him, the more we're going to keep his commandments. Years ago when I was in Oregon at a church that I went to, we had an evangelist come for several days. You know what evangelists do, they just come and leave, right, Joe? But his whole series, he preached several nights, but it was all based on one thing. Love Jesus. You know, we can worry about commandments, we can worry about everything he wants us to do, but what it gets break down to is the more we love Jesus, the more we're going to do that. The more we love Jesus, the more addictions are going to flee. The more bad habits are going to flee. Bad traits are going to flee. The more we love Jesus. That's the answer to all the problems of the world, isn't it? Love Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Have you noticed that not everybody is lovable? But that person that we're finding it hard to love quite possibly is actually more lovable than we are. Sometimes we don't see our traits and our bad traits as well as we see others. Faults have a tendency to stick out like a sore thumb. Good points, not so much, right? But we have to look past the faults. We have to look deeper into someone's life to see the good. We don't know what someone else is going through, what they're dealing with either, do we? There may be a reason why they're the way they are. I remember back once again when I was in Oregon years ago, I had a temporary job. And I worked with a man that I didn't get along with very well. He was always just very angry and very rude and very sharp and very harsh. And I had a real hard time loving him because he was because I was a new believer at that time, where I had just come back to the Lord and was trying to walk in his ways. But one day at lunch, he said something. He told me a little bit about himself. He had two sons. One of them was murdered. And the other one was the murderer, was in prison. So we don't know what people are going through. In 1 Corinthians 13, the King James Version uses the word charity for love. And it's a lot deeper. It has a lot more meaning. It's a lot bolder than the word love, because it includes love, but it's a lot more than that. We have to be charitable to people. 1 John 3:11, for this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You've heard it from the beginning, he said. Where was the beginning? Was that in John? Actually, it was back in Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. 2 John 5, there's only one chapter. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Love. 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 Love God. God loves us. And love one another. Love. Love is like a muscle. It has to be exercised. We have to put some effort into it, don't we? The more we exercise it, the stronger it grows. What happens if you don't use a muscle? It shrinks. The word is atrophy. That can happen with love, too. We can become very, very bitter, allowing that root of bitterness to bind us up. Love. Here at Isaiah 58, we encounter a lot of people. And for the most part, I think we do pretty good in how we deal with them. But we always need to keep in mind that what we have to show everybody that comes through our doors is love. Because it isn't really as much about them as it is about us. You know, we all need to feel love, don't get me wrong, but we also need to love. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, once again for your love. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, allow us to find strength in you. Allow us, Lord, not just to be loved, but to love. Lord, may your word stay in our heart. And may your love stay in our being, Lord, the knowledge of that love. Lord, we just thank you for everything you do in your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us as we go our ways and bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.